ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And I further answered and said to him, "What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?" And then he said, answered me and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." At that time, Zerubbabel was the governor, Joshua, not the Joshua from Exodus and Numbers and the book of Joshua, different Joshua. This is farther down the road after the captivity and after they returned home. Joshua was the high priest during this time. And I don't think that this is speaking of that these two witnesses are Zerubbabel and Joshua, but I think their actions represent what these two witnesses will do. The oil represents the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. We know that. And they're filled directly here in Zechariah. They're filled directly from the olive trees. And so we see a picture of a continual what? Abundant supply of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these men. First of all, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Why? So they can complete the work they were called to do. Remember Zechariah 4:6. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." How do you think these two witnesses are going to be during the tribulation period? They're going to need the empowering of the Spirit of God. And we're going to see that. God is empowering them in a very, very powerful way. Just as the rebuilding of the temple for Zerubbabel, just that was so overwhelming to him, this is going to be a huge task for these guys. Because the world is going to want these guys dead. The world's going to hate these two guys, these two witnesses. And I guess for us, you know, we tend to think of the world is so evil and so bad. Yeah, it is. But who's on our side? God. Never forget that. If we approach the problems that we're facing in this life through our own strength, we're going to fail. Lord, I can't do it, but I need your help. You know what you want me to do. Empower me by your Spirit to do it. You know, remember when Peter was arrested and put in jail by the Jews, and the angel of the Lord angel came and opened the doors, took the chains off of Peter, and he went out. What did he pray for afterwards as he gathered together with all the family of God? He said, "Lord, help us to have a boldness to speak forth your word." Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm being persecuted, thrown in jail. I'm like, "Lord, you know, keep me out of jail," right? No, he said, "I don't care. Give us a boldness no matter where we're at, what we're doing, to speak forth your word." And that's what we need, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, the $100,000 question, who are these two witnesses? Well, let's read on a little bit and then we'll discuss it. Look at verse 5 here in Revelation chapter 11. "And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire." These are some tough dudes, aren't they? I mean, look at what they're doing here. These aren't your average Joes. And think about this. How does the world respond when we stand up for righteousness? When we say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? There is no other way. They get mad at us. Sometimes they're hostile. They call us names. They're, even in parts of the world, you do this and you're put to death for your faith in Jesus. The church now here in Revelation is gone. Evil is filling the earth. And here comes these two guys speaking what? Righteousness, about Jesus. He's the only way. Don't follow the Antichrist, follow Jesus Christ. How do you think the world's going to respond to their message? Oh, thank you so much for coming and sharing that with us. I don't think so. In fact, they're coming after them. And God has enabled them to do things that will protect them. In fact, and I don't know how this is going to work. It says fire comes out of their mouth. Can you imagine? Here are these guys. You're coming after them. You become a post-toasty or whatever, you know. You're done. You understand why the world hates them. And we'll see what they do in a few minutes here. They can shut up the heavens from raining and turn water into blood. And for 1,260 days, no one can harm them. They're protected, even though many will try. And who are they? Well, with 100% confidence, one of them is Elijah, without a doubt. How could I be so sure? Because Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with the curse. So before Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom on this earth, Elijah must come first and prepare the way. He also had power to stop rain. We see Elijah in 1 Kings 17:1 and for 3.5 years. And it's interesting, during the Feast of Passover, the Jewish people will set an extra plate at the table. And during the meal, one of the children will get up and open the door and see if Elijah has come. They are waiting because they know before the Messiah comes, Elijah has to come first. Now, we know that John the Baptist was a type of Elijah, a foreshadowing of Elijah. He wasn't Elijah. But Elijah, I believe, is one of these two witnesses. Now, the real problem is identifying the other witness, who it's going to be. I'm really confident who it's going to be, but scholars are all over the place. Some say it's Enoch, and the reason being, Enoch, like Elijah, never died but was caught up into heaven. Well, here's the thing. When was Enoch caught up into heaven? Prior to the flood, right? He was caught up into heaven prior to the flood. Who is Enoch a type of? The church who is caught up before the tribulation period starts. So I don't see this as being Enoch at all. I believe we get a clue of who the second witness is, and people can agree with me or disagree, that's okay, when Jesus appeared in all of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 35, we're told this. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with them. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him." I believe Moses is the second witness. Who did Moses represent? Or what did Moses represent, I guess I should say? Moses represented the law. Who did Elijah represent? The prophets. Oh, with these two men, we have the law and the prophets represented. So I think, you know, what did Moses? Moses turned the water to blood, right, in Egypt. We see similar things. So that's my take on it. You may have a different take, and that's okay. The first one, you can't change the first one. The first one's Elijah. There is no doubt about it. The second one, again, I'm confident on that. But here's something fascinating. What happens with these two guys when their work is done? We don't have to guess. Look at verse 7 here in Revelation 11. Now, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and what? Kill them? Are you serious? They're going to die? Yeah, they are. And here's the thing that we have to remember. We're not going to go a moment too soon or a moment too late. And the safest place for anyone to be is in the will of God, no matter how dangerous the situation is. The most dangerous place for us to be is outside the will of God. But we're not going to go. God has a schedule. And as this beast from the bottomless pit puts these two witnesses to death, wow, it was the end of God's work for these two men. Nothing stopped them for 3.5 years. Now all of a sudden, they're dead. And I think this takes place at the 3.5 year mark. As this pseudo peace of the Antichrist is over, and now it's war as he demands to be worshipped as God. That word, the word witnesses, martus in the Greek, we get our English word martyr from. That was those in the early church. They were martyrs for their faith. And people today who have died for their faith in Christ are also not just witnesses, they're martyrs. We think our world is very evil, and it is. I mean, I'm not trying to make it sound nice. It's pretty evil out there. But look at how evil this world is going to be as these two men of God, these two witnesses, are put to death for their faith by the beast from the bottomless pit. Look at starting in verse 8 here in Revelation 11. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. What city are their bodies laying in? Jerusalem. Where was the Lord crucified? Jerusalem. Well, then what's this Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, Sodom speaks of immorality, wickedness. Egypt speaks of bondage, worldliness. So we see both those. We see Sodom, we see Egypt, speaking of Jerusalem. This great city of Jerusalem was manifesting the character of these two wicked cities, Sodom and Egypt. And then we see how the world responds to these two men of God that are in the streets. They leave them lying there for 3 days. Think about that. They're all so upset about these guys and what they did for 3.5 years, standing up for righteousness, that they're rejoicing over their death. Wow. 3.5 days of partying, dancing around these bodies. Have you ever seen what happens when Palestinians kill a Jew? What they do? Dragging their bodies around the streets, parading them around, jumping up and down. That's what we see here. That's what's going on here in Revelation chapter 11. The same thing. The wickedness of man. And Dr. Newell said, now comes the revelation of the heart of man. Glee, horrid, insane, inhumane, hellish, ghoulish glee. I don't know if this is true or not. I think it's in the Greek. I think it speaks of Hallmark having a Happy Dead Witnesses Day card. I don't know. I could be wrong. They have cards for everything. But that's how bad this is. They're giving gifts to each other. They're celebrating. Man can be very, very evil. Now, it seems that the entire world is able to view this. How can that be? When John wrote this, that was impossible, right? Only the people who were actually there could see these dead bodies for 3.5 days. But it seems to be speaking from all over the world, from different tongues, people, nations. Think about what you can do with your phone today. You can see real time what's happening, like I said, all over the world. The technology is already here for this. And the world is acting demonic. But I love what God does. You know, the world's rejoicing, the world's partying. And what does God do? Look at verse 11 here in Revelation 11. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. I bet they did. I bet that was a shock to them, right? God takes his servants home. And I think it's comical. Can you imagine? And I don't watch the news really at all anymore, so I don't really know who the news people are, so I'm going back in time, okay? This is the picture. I'm going back in time. Katie Couric here in Jerusalem as we are 3.5 days into the celebration of the death of these two witnesses. We see parties going on everywhere. These guys that caused so much trouble, they're out of the way. Happy Dead Witnesses Day. I'm Katie Couric, here from Jerusalem. Now, back to you in New York. Wait a minute. What's going on? These bodies are beginning to rise, stand on their feet. It can't be happening. It was. Can you imagine these people and what they're going to see? They were partying, having a good time. These guys are dead. God's not done with them. He's taking them home. And I think their joy will quickly change. But God's not done. He's going to judge those who have come against his people and come against him. Look at verse 13. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake and 1/10 of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 men were killed and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. 7,000 people killed in an earthquake. And the word for people in the Greek literally means names of men. And it seems to be implying, and it may not, but it seems to be implying these are 7,000 prominent people that were killed, maybe leaders within the Antichrist government. Remember, the Antichrist is in Jerusalem. He's going to have his people all around. It could be very likely that these are his people who wanted these guys dead. They're dead now. God has judged them. And the rest gave glory to God, probably speaking of the Jewish people who came to Jesus at this time. God is not done with the Jewish people, not at all, guys. What he promised them, he's going to bring to pass. They have to get saved. They have to come to the saving faith of Jesus Christ, because the promise that God made to the Jewish people was that the Messiah one day would sit on the throne of David, and that hasn't happened yet, but it will. One commentator put it like this. He said, "The rest must refer to inhabitants of Jerusalem, Jews who will come to faith in Christ. Supporting that interpretation is the fact that giving glory to the God of heaven is a mark of genuine repentance in Revelation and elsewhere in Scripture. This passage then describes the reality of the salvation of the Jews in Jerusalem as God fulfills his pledge of blessing for Israel." Keep in mind, not all the Jews left Jerusalem. There's a large portion that went to Petra, but there's a large portion still there that the Antichrist is going to kill. A large portion that he's going to destroy. And I believe these are Jews that have come to saving faith. Now we come to verse 14. "The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly." We've been waiting for this third woe to come and the sounding of the seventh trumpet since Revelation 9:21 at the end of the sixth trumpet judgment. And here it is. And out of this third woe comes the seven bowl judgments. And I believe, like I said before, these seven bowl judgments are going to come in rapid fire succession. Bam, 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 bam. Because when we read them as we get to Revelation 16, if they don't happen quickly, no life could even survive very long. So this has to be a very quick, at the end of the tribulation period, firing of these judgments. Look at verse 15. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" This is what we've been waiting for. Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on the throne of David. Christ purchased this world back some 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Now it's time for him to take possession of it, and he will. And like I said, the seventh trumpet sounds and brings forth the seven bowl judgments. that are going to come forth, and they're going to be severe. And it's after those bold judgments Jesus Christ comes back. Now, what do you think will take place as these voices cry out, "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever"? What do you think is going to happen in heaven? Worship. That's heaven is just worship, man. We're just going to be worshiping God all the time. And this is a done deal. Jesus Christ is going to come back and take over this world to rule and reign. In fact, the verb tense here, have become, indicates an absolute certainty about this happening. It's going to be established. Look at verse 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on the on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Again, these 24 elders before God represent the church. And we talked about that earlier on. It's the entire church of God. We saw that when David was setting up the priests in their ministries. He divided them up into 24, shifts. Each one would serve about 2 weeks. And when one group would serve, they represented all the priests, just as the 24 represents the entire church, all of it. And we see the worship of God. I mean, that's pretty exciting. Now, the world can try and fight against God all it wants. It's not going to win. I'll give you some homework. Read Psalm 2. The world comes after God to fight against him. God laughs. Why? Because it's foolishness. It's foolishness. Now look at verse 19. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Why? Because God's judgment is getting ready to be poured out. The temple proper, which is being spoken of here, and the ark represented the very presence of God. And here's the thing for us. We cannot know the things of God except by the Spirit of God. That's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. How can we know the mind of God, the things of God, unless the Spirit of God teaches us? If we try to approach the Scriptures through our own understanding of it, we're going to get messed up. But we ask the Lord, help me to understand these things. And if you want to know God more, open up His Word. Search the Scriptures, because the Holy Spirit wants to teach us these things. I like what Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." This third woe, this seventh trumpet judgment, is going to usher in Jesus Christ to come back to this earth and take this land back. Righteousness will fill this earth. As the seventh angel cried out, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Man, we are waiting in anticipation for that day. I can't wait for the Lord to come back. But I also want to use the time that I have to share the gospel message with the lost, because that's the most important thing right now. I'm thankful the Lord didn't come back before I was saved. And there's a lot of people today that don't know the Lord. Lord, give us that time to share. I realize we probably are not going to see a huge revival. I know there are people that feel that there will be a huge revival. I don't think so. I think the world's going to get more and more wicked, but out of that, there will be people who come to know the Lord. And when that last Gentile gets saved, when that last person gets saved, guess what? The Lord calls us home. So let's share our faith, because that day is getting closer. And are we ready? I am. I don't know about you, but I am. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. They are so encouraging. Because you have told us what is going to happen long before it ever happens. And Lord, we see these things coming into place right now. We see the Jews are ready to rebuild their temple. They have all the implements they need. They just need the word to go and rebuild. And I believe it will be the Antichrist that gives them that word, makes a covenant with them to rebuild this temple, but to leave out the outer court because it's been given to the Gentiles. And we see that very clearly today as we look at that Temple Mount area. Lord, give us a boldness to speak forth your word and to share the gospel message with the lost. We love you, Lord, and Lord, we want to be used by you to the fullest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.